pierced by every word that was spoken. The tight balloon of Bernard's happy self-confidence was leaking from a thousand wounds. Pale, distraught, abject and agitated, he moved among his guests, stammering incoherent apologies, assuring them that next time the savage would certainly be there, begging them to sit down and take a carotene sandwich, a slice of vitamin A pâté, a glass of champagne surrogate. They duly ate, but ignored him, drank, and were either rude to his face or talked to one another about him, loudly and offensively, as though he had not been there. "And now, my friends," said the arch-community songster of Canterbury in that beautiful ringing voice with which he led the proceedings at Ford's Day celebrations. "Now, my friends, I think perhaps the time has come." He rose, put down his glass, brushed from his purple viscous waistcoat the crumbs of a considerable collation, and walked towards the door. Bernard darted forward to intercept him.
"Must you really, Arch-Songster? It's very early still. I'd hoped you would..."
Yes. What hadn't he hoped when Lenina confidentially told him that the Arch-Community Songster would accept an invitation if it were sent?
"He's really rather sweet, you know."
And she had shown Bernard the little golden zipper fastening in the form of a tea which the Arch-Songster had given her as a memento of the weekend she had spent at Lambeth.
"To meet the Arch-Community Songster of Canterbury and Mr. Savage."
Bernard had proclaimed his triumph on every invitation card. But the Savage had chosen this evening, of all evenings, to lock himself up in his room, to shout,
"Honey!"
And even, it was lucky that Bernard didn't understand Zuni,
"Sunt isutzina!"
What should have been the crowning moment of Bernard's whole career had turned out to be the moment of his greatest humiliation.
"I'd so much hoped,"
he stammeringly repeated, looking up at the great dignitary with pleading and distracted eyes.
"My young friend,"
said the Arch-Community Songster, in a tone of loud and solemn severity. There was a general silence.
"Let me give you a word of advice,"
he wagged his finger at Bernard,
"before it's too late. A word of good advice."
His voice became sepulchral.
"Mend your ways, my young friend, mend your ways."
He made the sign of the tea over him and turned away.
"Lenina, my dear," he called in another tone, "come with me."
Obediently, but unsmiling and wholly insensible of the honour done to her, without elation, Lenina walked after him out of the room. The other guests followed at a respectful interval. The last of them slammed the door. Bernard was all alone. Punctured, utterly deflated, he dropped into a chair and, covering his face with his hands, began to weep. A few minutes later, however, he thought better of it and took 4 tablets of soma. Upstairs in his room, the Savage was reading Romeo and Juliet. Lenina and the Arch-Community Songster stepped out onto the roof of Lambeth Palace.
"Hurry up, my young friend. I mean Lenina,"
called the Arch-Songster impatiently from the lift gates. Lenina, who had lingered for a moment to look at the moon, dropped her eyes and came hurrying across the roof to rejoin him.